Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Judges, the 12th chapter. Judges chapter 12 in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 302. We'll be reading just the first four verses. We'll read the verses responsively, with special attention given to the text verse, verse 3. Judges chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, page 302 in your Scofield Bible. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands, and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead, and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for our church. What a comfort it is to come here Sunday after Sunday and find that the crowds are good, the Spirit is great, and the preaching of the Word of God is still as it has been. It's a wonderful thing to find this foundation of strength and blessing so needed in our lives week by week. So bless us once again. We pray for power amongst us as we listen and power in preaching, as thou dost visit with us once again through thy word. Of course, we pray for our brother Carl Hatch. Bless, we pray concerning his need for thee. And thy touch and for healing and for the lengthy operation tomorrow, we pray for thy help and for thy guidance and all that's done for him through those who tend him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Without your turning to it, I'd like to read for you just about 2.5 verses we read a while ago. I'd like for you to think very carefully about what I read. This is the man Jephthah in the Bible. That little unknown fella tucked away in Hebrews 11 that most folks wonder why he's there. The one who made the vow that he would give if God would give the victory to him in a certain battle. When he got home, the first thing that came out the gate of the door that he had offered as a sacrifice. And the first thing that came out was his daughter, his only daughter. That amazing man Jephthah. Nobody like him in all the Bible. And this is about him. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. We're going to set your house on fire, they said. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. When I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. They said, Why didn't you let us help you fight? He said, I called you, but you didn't come to my rescue. And then in verse number 3, an amazing statement here. It's the kind of thing that any preacher, as he reads it, would see this little statement flashing out like a sign. It said, And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands. I put my life in my hands. I want to say a word before I preach. And I have never been afflicted with the disease of self-pity. I never dwell there. I rarely ever, if ever, visit there. Mine has been a wonderful life. I could not have asked for a greater life. But it's also, for 22 years, been a very lonely life. I don't mean, again, that I'm talking in the realm of self-pity, but 22 years ago, our church became the largest church in America. Now, for 22 years, I've had no place to go for advice. I've had no place where I could go to some preacher who's been where I am and said, what do I do now? For years, up until 22 years ago, I could go to my good friend, Dr. Lee Robertson. And I could say, Dr. Robertson, what do I do now? How about this? But there's nobody in America can tell me what they did when they were where I am. May I stop and say this? There's nobody in the history of America either that can. Because of that, it has been, in some ways, a lonely life. When we passed Dr. Robertson in our attendance average, I cried much of the night. I cried first because he's long been one of my heroes. I cried secondly because I realized that I, a young preacher at the time, had a larger attendance and a larger church than Dr. Robertson. It seemed sacrilegious to me. I also wept because I love him and wanted him to have the largest church in America rather than for me to have it. And I don't mean I'm a great preacher. You know better than that. But because size-wise, souls-wise, growth-wise, college-wise, I'm at the top. There are many preachers that can preach better than I, and thousands of preachers that are Christians than I. Because I am at the top, there's only one first place. There's only one largest church in America. I have become vulnerable to attack. Everybody wants to shoot at the guy that's up on the top. Somebody asked me one time, said, what is your favorite football team? I said, whoever's playing Notre Dame. That's my favorite football team. Now, our church is the Notre Dame of the Christian field. I grew up hating, and I don't mean this in a sense of bitter hatred. Yeah, I do too. I grew up hating, as a boy in Texas, Notre Dame, New York Yankees, Joe Namath, and Muhammad Ali. Not necessarily in that order. But the reason was, these guys were always winning. And I pulled for SMU. We won a game in 1917, I think it was, when I pulled for them. They say nobody pulled for Goliath. Everybody's pulling for the underdog and so forth. Now, I'm giving a little heavy introduction, but I think you'll see why in a few minutes. I have been obviously vulnerable for attack. Every word that I say is taped. And every word that I say goes all over the country. Most preachers can make a mistake and are like an unwise statement, and it goes to the back door and the walls of the church. But every preacher in America has access to every word I say. I mean every word I say. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and oftentimes on Wednesday night, every word I say. My tapes literally go around the world. I make two tapes every week. One goes around the world this way, and one goes around the world this way. But I'm very visible. Not as visible as Keith McKinney, but I am very visible. I realize that. Harry Truman said, if you can't stand the heat, don't get in the kitchen. And I'm in the kitchen, and I've been withstanding the heat for a long, long time. And I don't have any pity party, but I want to tell you this morning, all of that to say this, I want to give you something that's been a help to me, a passage of Scripture that's been a great help to me, and one that'll be a help to you. You see, you're going to come to a place in your life where you think nobody understands. I sometimes wish I'd go somewhere and talk to somebody who understands the load I carry. Again, I'm not asking for pity. I'm asking for money. But I sometimes wish that I could go somewhere and somebody could say, sure, I'm going through the same thing you're going through. I've had the same battles you've had. I've carried the same burdens you carry. And I say all that to say that how have I, through these 22 years of having no pastor to go to, nobody to go to, in the field of church building, and so forth. But being vulnerable, being the man that's on top, who shot at the most, and that's always the case. Now, the one in the kitchen who has to withstand the most heat, I want to help you this morning. I want to talk to you very sincerely on that one little scripture. I put my life in my hands. I put my life in my hands. That's the text of my message and also my title. Our Heavenly Father, I really believe this morning that I can be a help to a lot of people. Not only because I'm going to preach the Bible to them, but because of experience. I know what I'm talking about on this subject. This is not theory. This is proven truth. This is not guesswork. A young preacher saying, this is the way the Bible says it. It's an old seasoned veteran, grizzled veteran saying, this is the way the Bible says it, and this is the way I found it. So I pray you to help me be a blessing to our people. In Jesus' name, amen. May I tell you the story of Jephthah, and you'll have to listen very carefully. It's a rather detailed story, and I ask you to listen very carefully. We studied about Jephthah in our Sunday school class a couple of Sundays ago. I'm not dealing this morning with that particular portion that we studied about, that we studied a couple weeks ago. I could call this title, this sermon, by title, What to Do When Everything Goes Against You. Do you ever have that feeling in your life? What to do when everything goes against you. Or I could call it What to Do When You Have Nobody to Go To. I mean, nobody understands and there's no place that you can go. Jephthah looks at his life. Please follow me carefully. Jephthah looks at his life. Jephthah was a mighty man of valor. Jephthah was a general of the army. Jephthah was a hero. Jephthah was a good enough Christian until God chose to put him in the list of great men of faith, along beside Abraham and Moses and others in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Jephthah looks at his life and he comes to the realization he has no father to whom he can go. For you see, Jephthah was the son of an unfaithful whoremonger for a dad. The truth is, Jephthah was an illegitimate child. He was born out of wedlock, and I want to tell you, you young people decide to go into sin, why don't you stop and think about the possibility that you could wreck the life of an unborn child? For a few thrills and a few glands, you'll risk the life of your yet unborn child. But Jephthah had no place to go. I hesitate to say this, and I hope this morning I can arouse some sympathy for me. That's not my motive, but it sort of sounds like it. The day I got married, I think it's been 85, 90 years ago. I'm not sure how long ago. I knew nothing about marriage. Absolutely nothing. I knew nothing about women. I can make that statement today. I knew nothing about marriage. Let me tell you what I want to say without being too frank. I did not know one single thing about anything concerning the romantic part of marriage. Not a thing. Not a single thing. The doctor who examined me before I got married said, you're the purest-minded young man I've ever known in my life. They call that gullible, naive, but he wanted to get his fee. But I picked up the phone, and now my father never cared for me. My father didn't want me. I was born in the Depression toward the last years of my mother's childbearing life, and my father didn't want me, and he dead sure didn't want a son. He had three daughters, and he didn't want a son. And it looks like he would have, considering the third daughter he got, but my father didn't want a son. My father never bought me. Please do not be walking around in the service now. I want you to, if you're going to leave, don't come back, because I don't want folks moving around. Now listen to me. My father never bought me a suit of clothes, never bought me a pair of shoes, never bought me a shirt except one little blue T-shirt. That's all he ever bought me. My father never took me to a ball game. My father never sat down and talked to me about anything. He never had time for me. I always wished that I had a father, but they came to get married. I had no marital counseling. I had not sown any wild oats. I didn't know. I needed somebody to talk to me about marriage. Desperately, I needed somebody to give me a little counsel. I tried all day to get my father. My father finally located him, and I met him somewhere, and I said, "Dad, I'm getting married tonight. I know you and I have not been close, and I know that we never talked, but I desperately need somebody to talk to me about the romance side of marriage and explain to me what it's all about." My father looked at me and said, "Don't tell me you've never known a woman." And I said, "Dad, I got to tell you because it's the truth." And my father said to me, "Oh, come on, you're a paratrooper. You've been in the Army 2 or 3 years. Don't tell me." He said, "You've had plenty of women." And I said, "Dad, that's not the truth. I need some help." And my dad wouldn't believe me and laughed at me. So I know a little bit about what it's like. Jephthah had no father to go to. Jephthah was in the toughest time of his life. He had no father to whom he could go. That isn't all. Jephthah had no mother to whom he could go. His mother was a prostitute. And he was born of her womb as an illegitimate child. So Jephthah had no father. He had no mother. My mother and I were just as close as my father and I were apart. After pastor school, we used to close pastor school out in the afternoon on Friday. I'd always go to my mother's little apartment over here in Calumet City on 167th Street and sit there at a knee and cry for about an hour. Just cry. When my mother went to heaven, I lost an important counselor in my life. Please do not be walking around now. I told you before, I need you to sit still and other people look at you. And whether you want what I've got to say or not, there are people here that need what I've got to say. So listen carefully. Jephthah had no mother to go to. He's in the crisis of his life. He has no father. He has no mother. That isn't all. Jephthah had no brothers and sisters. I thank God for my sister, the only sister I have. I have two in heaven I never met. But I thank God for my sister. But Jephthah had no sister he could go because his brothers and sisters cast him out of the household. Because he was an illegitimate child, they kicked him out of the household. Had nothing to do with him. And I want to say this today. Better be careful about stuff like that. Better be careful. But for the grace of God, you could have had a mother who was a prostitute. But for the grace of God, you could have one of these little old bus kids from the Chicago ghettos. You're not exactly a blue blood yourself. And but for the grace of, I'm saying, you be good to these people who are not as fortunate as you to be born to godly parents. But Jephthah had no mother to whom he could go. He had no father. Father was a whoremonger. Mother was a prostitute. He was an illegitimate child. Because he was, his brothers and sister got together and kicked him out of the house. So he had no brothers to make a go. He's in the crisis of his life. He needs someone to talk to. He needs someone for counsel. He needs someone to understand. He needs someone to care. No father, no mother, no brother, no sister. And that isn't all. He had no inheritance. He was disowned with the family. He no longer was an heir of his father or mother. He had no security of inheritance. No financial security of the future whatsoever. But that isn't all. He lost his countrymen. His country turned on him. His best friends, he thought, turned on him. Listen to me. He's in the hardest part of his life. The crisis of his life. He has no mother. He can't go to a father. He can't go to a brother. He can't go to a sister. He can't even go to his countrymen, for his own country had turned on him. He goes to a place called Tob, T-O-B. Tob was a place inhabited by a bunch of unemployed freeloaders, lazy welfare people. I'm not saying everybody on welfare is lazy. I'm just saying most of them are. I'm just saying America's going under financially if we don't make people work or starve. And that's God's plan. God said if you don't work, you shouldn't eat.
Let me describe what that means. That means laying on the sidewalk and rot. You say, well, the house, I can't find a job. Anybody can find a job in America. You got a decent, you have decent character. Anybody can find a job. I'm trying to say a land of freeloaders. Folks who wouldn't work. Unemployed freeloaders. Wait a minute. Jephthah had no father, no mother, no brother. 2 weeks ago, no sister, no country, and no fellow citizens in this land where he went called Tob. That isn't all. The richest and most popular and famous of all the tribes was the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim was the strongest of all the tribes. Jephthah goes to Ephraim, and Jephthah seeks help from Ephraim. He's got a battle to fight. He's got a crisis in his life. And Ephraim turns his back on him, and Ephraim will not help him. And there he is. You've been there. Nobody understands. You feel like there's nobody to whom you can go. You feel like there's nobody can understand your heartache. Nobody's ever faced what you face, and that's what Jephthah was like. And Ephraim came and said, when you fought the battle, why didn't you call us? He said, I called you, but you wouldn't help me. And he says, and here's my text, I decided to put my life in my hands. I decided to put my life in my own hands. The truth is, this guy is alone. The usual normal form of encouragers are not available. He's by himself. He has one or two choices. And some of these days, you may not have come here yet, but you're going to be here. And brother, I'll guarantee you, I've been here a dozen times in my life. You've got one choice or two, Mr. Jephthah. You've got to keep going on your own, or you've got to quit. That's all. And you're coming to it. And by the way, we'll find out what you are when that day comes. We'll find out what you are when nobody understands and nobody cares. You don't think anybody cares. And nobody to go to, and there's no mama to keep you that understands, and no dad to understand, and no brother to understand, and no sister to understand, and no country that understands, and no fellow Christian to understand, and it seems like the church doesn't care, and it seems like your Sunday school class has forgotten you, and all you've got is a problem and a burden and nobody else to go to, and you face it, you've got one choice of two, to turn back and quit, or say, I'll take care of it myself. He said, I put my life in my own hands. Now, what does it mean? Jephthah is saying, when I have to fight alone, and no one else fights for me, I'll fight alone. If no one else does it but me, if no one does right but me, and if the folks at work make fun of me, and my family doesn't understand me, if no one else does it but me, if I'm the only one that does right, and nobody understands, and everybody thinks I'm crazy, I will take my life in my own hands, and I'll go it alone. That's what you call a man. And you'll find out whether you're a man or not when that day comes. I face some times in my life, brother, I either had to go by myself or I had to quit. And I've got news for you. That's where I grew up. And you're going to face it. I said you're going to face it. You say, I haven't yet. You will. The day will come when nobody's going to call you and you call and they're not home. The day's going to come and the pastor's busy and can't talk to two people at one time. He's counseling with somebody else. The day's going to come where the Colston's out of town on vacation. The day's going to come when nobody seems to care, and you face it by yourself. Let me tell you, America was built on men who faced it alone and said, if nobody does right but me, I'll do right. If no one refuses to do wrong but me, I'm not going to do wrong. And if I've got to, I'll face it by myself. I may live, I may die, but I won't turn back. I'd rather be dead than try. And I would. I'd rather my body be right there in a box right now. I'd rather you come by and look at my carcass and say, well, the old man finally got straightened out. And lie there in that box than have to shave a man tomorrow morning who's a quitter. I don't shave a smart man. I don't shave a brilliant man. I don't shave sometimes a strong man. But bless God, I shave a man. You little turnbackers. You little college peons who quit because you can't make it through college. I hope that you can't even grow a beard. I hope you have to shave with a pair of tweezers the rest of your life. Jephthah. That's why he got it. Jephthah didn't get his name in the book of Hebrews because he was Abraham, the father of a nation. Jephthah didn't get his name in Hebrews because he was Moses, the leader of a great nation. Jephthah didn't get his name in the book of Hebrews because he was David, the king, the mighty king of Israel. Jephthah got his name in the book of Hebrews because Jephthah said, if I have to go by myself, I go by myself. If I've got to face it alone, I'll face it alone. If nobody understands, if nobody cares, if nobody comes to my rescue, if I have no mother, I have no father, I have no brother, I have no sister, by cracky, I'll just face it by myself. And he said, I put my life in my hands. They may find me dead on a battlefield, but I won't turn back. They may find me wounded beyond repair, but I won't turn back. If my father doesn't help me, I'll go it alone. And again, I've said often, I'm sick and tired of this, it's somebody else's fault generation. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of people saying, well, I got in trouble because of my dad. No, sir, you got in trouble because of yourself. Jephthah said, if my father doesn't help me, I'll go it alone. If my mother doesn't help me, I'll go it alone. If my sister doesn't help me, I'll go it alone. If my brother doesn't help me, I'll go it alone. If my nation doesn't help me, I'll go it alone. If my neighbors don't help me, I'll go it alone. If my church doesn't help me, I'll go it alone. If my friends don't help me, I'll go it alone. If Ephraim doesn't help me, I'll go it alone. I will put my life in my own hands and live or die, I'm not turning back. I'll not feel sorry for myself, he said. I'm not bitter at, and by the way, I'm not bitter at those who refuse to help me. He never went to anybody and said, where were you? They came to him and said, well, you should have helped you. And all he said was, I tried to get your help. He didn't walk up to his mother and say, Mama, I didn't turn out very good. I got some problems because of you. Well, Daddy, if I'd had a decent daddy, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Jack Frazier Hiles is not accountable. Willis Sathy Hiles is not accountable for Jack Frazier Hiles. Willis Sathy Hiles left us. Willis Sathy Hiles was a drunkard. Willis Sathy Hiles was not a Christian man. Willis Sathy Hiles was not the kind of person that I wanted as a father. But bless God, I am only accountable for myself. And I want to say, we need some Christians today who will say, if nobody on the job goes with me, I'll go it by myself. If nobody in my family lives right, I'll live right by myself. I'm not going to ask. I'd like to have a crutch over here and a crutch over here, but if I don't get any crutches, I'll still keep on going. I'll not indulge in self-pity. Maybe today you have a heartache. No doubt you do. Maybe today you have a burden. No doubt you do. Maybe today you have a sorrow that you carry. No doubt you do. Maybe today you have a battle that you're facing, such as was the case of Jephthah. No doubt you do. Now the truth is, perhaps you have no father to help. You'd like to pick up the phone again, as my son did 2 weeks ago, and again this week, and say, Dad, I need your help. Sometime I'd like to hear one of the kids call and say, Dad, I'd like to help. Dad, you need any help? They say one word, Dad. I say two words, how much? But our son called. He needed some help. He called his dad. It may be that you have no dad to call. And if you do have a dad, he won't help you. It may be that's not a recourse for you. It may be that your mother's gone to heaven. Or it may be that your mother's not concerned about you. Or she wouldn't understand. It may be that you have no brother or sister who cares. It may be that you have nobody in this whole world. And you stand by yourself alone in the world. Or maybe you think you do and you don't, but it's just as bad. You stand alone in the world with children to rear alone. You stand alone in the world with a family to provide for. You stand alone in the world with a husband who's unfaithful. You stand alone in the world with a burden or a sorrow or a heartache. And you say, does anybody care? Like the wise the Jeremiah said, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Well, if it is nothing to them, keep on going. Just keep on going. Forget your self-pity. Don't consider quitting. Put your life in your own hands. Boy, I like this guy. And let this guy, Jephthah, illegitimate child, father, whoremonger, mother of prostitute, let this kid, Jephthah, who became a mighty man of valor, let him rise up in judgment against you folks whose dad's still on the platform today. Let him rise up in judgment against you young people that are playing around with sin, listening to your rock music and playing around with sin, whose dad's on the deacon board of First Baptist Church. Let these young people rise up in judgment against you young folks that have grown up in Hammond Baptist Grade School, Hammond Baptist Junior High School, Hammond Baptist High School, and maybe Howells Anderson College, and you're not amounting to anything for God. Let this little old illegitimate boy whose dad's a whoremonger, whose mother's a prostitute, who became a mighty general and a great success, let him rise up in judgment and rebuke of a child that grows up in a decent home and doesn't turn out right. God bless Jephthah. He's one of the first guys I want to meet when I get to heaven. And let that encourage you little bus kids. Let that encourage those of you whose mom and dad's name not on the deacon board roll or the church roll. Let it encourage those little children that sat alone in church and wish their mama was there. Encourage your heart. That's it, and I'll close. I don't know what your burden is. I have no idea, but I bet you I faced it. I don't know what your heartache is, but I bet you I've come pretty close to being right where you are. There are very few heartaches, and I don't understand me. I had a wonderful life. Wouldn't trade my life for anybody's. But I've had some loads to carry. And there have been times when I felt like that nobody understood. I want to thank God today. Let me read you just a line here. Jephthah said, oh, where am I here? Where is Judges? Get this. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. When I called on you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. When I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands. Now get this. And passed over against the children of Ammon. And the next three words. And the Lord. And the Lord. I faced some battles in my life. And I said I'm going to keep on going by myself. And the Lord. You face the midnight hour. And you don't know how you're going to rear your children. And you mothers don't know how you're going to make it. Just keep on going, and the Lord, and the next word says, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Most of you will never fight as many battles in your lifetime as I fought in the last month. Most of you will never have as many articles written against you in a lifetime as I've had written against me in the last month. Most of you will not know have as many enemies attack you as I've had attack me in the last 30 days. He said, what do you want, pity? No, sir. No, sir. I just want to serve notice to the whole world, buddy. If I have to walk by myself, I'm keeping walking. I'm not turning to the right or the left. I'm not turning back. Onward, forward, shout out, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne. God bless you, Jephthah. I sure admire you. You had no hospital nurse to cradle you. You had no mother to take you to church and show you off to the nursery workers. You had no father to hold your name up before the nursery in the hospital and point and say, "That's my boy." You had no brothers or sisters to stand with you when you faced the battles. You little illegitimate kid. But God bless you. Not only did you keep your word back yonder, and you made a vow that may have been foolish, but Jephthah, when everybody turned their back, you thought anyway, and you could find no one that really understood, you said, "I'll put my life in my own hands. I'll put my life in my own hands." And ladies and gentlemen, especially gentlemen, whenever you do that and keep on going, and you don't feel like, whether it's true or not, you don't feel like anybody really understands you, but you keep on going, somebody ought to give you an award saying, "Welcome to manhood." And some of you wives that have a husband like that, boy, you ought to get called an Army and Navy band out, and you ought to play the band for him and encourage him. I'm talking about that husband that by himself at work has stayed for the job. I'm talking about that husband who worked day and night so you wouldn't have to work while he was in college. I'm talking about that fellow who quit 50 times but wouldn't quit. He kept on going. You ought to go home and look at him and say, "I don't have a very good-looking man, but I got a man. And I'd rather have an ugly man than a handsome wimp." Very few are like my wife. They have both in one package. Ugly wimp. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you, Jephthah. I want to shake your hand one of these days and tell you how much I admire you and tell you how much that one little statement meant to me through these long, many years. I put my life in my hands. Would you bow your heads, please?